welcome to Bat Flips and Nerds Season Preview Podcast, the baseball podcast with a British twist. You can find us on at batflips_nerds on Twitter and on Facebook at facebook.com/batflipsandnerds. I'm your host, Tom Pringle. As you may have heard in our previous episodes, there are plenty of other podcasts out there already producing their season previews. They'll probably have more in-depth and with more analysis, but here at Bat Flips and Nerds, we tried to do something a little bit different. We've been inviting British fans to come onto the podcast and talk about their team, all with a British twist. We have no clever order for this, it's literally as available at the time, so without further delay, joining me this time to talk all about the San Diego Padres is Alex Hoad. How are you, Alex?
I'm very good, Tom. Thanks very much for having me.
No, it's not a problem at all. Now, you've got quite an interesting job, the fact you work at Kent Online. That's covering sports journalism, right?
It is, yeah. I literally live and breathe sport, always have. If I can't play it, then I'd like to be watching it, and I wasn't able to make it as a professional in anything, so I ended up being a professional in writing about it and watching other people do it.
I think that's generally the way, isn't it? I've certainly started to go that way. I think I was still at 24. I had the dream that I was going to play professional football, but it just wasn't going to happen. I think because I was left-footed and I spent most of my time on the left wing, I would always get in the team. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to make professional. It's not a problem at all, this. Not to be.
I know exactly how you feel because I'm 35 and I still haven't given up particularly, given it how awful they were last year. I'm still thinking I've got a World Cup in me, but... I play American football myself over here, and I went to an NFL combine, believe it or not, 2 years
wow.
ago, only 2 years ago, and just thought I had one last shot. I had to give it a shot. I didn't want to be 35 and always wondering, so I did everything I could and got over to New York to one of the regional combines there at the Vets facility. It was a pretty cool experience. And I got to write about that experience too, which was pretty good.
I know we're digressing here, but what position do you play?
I'm a tight end. I'm a very injury-ravaged tight end at the moment. I play in the British American Football League for the East Kent Mavericks, but I've been on the DL for quite a bit of time because I mushed my back up pretty bad after that New York experience that season after.
Oh, dear, that's not good. So injury-ravaged tight end, so you must be something like, I'd say, sort of Gronk ability, something like that?
You know what? I wear 87. Yeah, Gronk.
Well, there you go.
I'm like an older version of Gronk. He's modelled himself on me in terms of everything. He's partying as well. He's womanising and all that stuff too. It's an imitation of me.
Excellent. Right, we're obviously going to be talking about your San Diego Padres. Now, for me, I've got a very large soft spot for the Padres, having spent a month out there on exercise with the military. I kind of see them as like plucky losers, so I'm always going to keep an eye on them. I think if they were really good, I probably wouldn't be that interested. But I just love watching this kind of always trying to strive to get there. So what made you pick the Padres then?
It was absolute sheer circumstance. I never really figured I'd be a baseball guy. I used to like cricket growing up, and I went off to university in 99, and I met a guy. As you do in Freshers Week, you kind of bump into all kind of random people that live in your building and things like that. And there was a guy I really hit it off with and became good friends, still are to this day. There's a guy that used to live in the States, and he'd moved around, lived in Greece and a few countries. And he was a big baseball fan, and he was basically extolling the virtues of baseball to me. And I was saying, mate, it's going to be rubbish. It's just going to be a poor version of cricket. And and I don't know why you waste your time with it. And he basically said, put your money where your mouth is. And these were in the glorious days of Channel 5 putting baseball on at sort of 1 o'clock in the morning on a random Tuesday. And so this was like the second week of uni, September 99. The game that was on was his team, the Cincinnati Reds. And it was 1 o'clock in the morning. I was already up, clearly. And I wasn't planning to go to bed anytime soon. And I said, I'll sit up and watch it with you. See what all the fuss is about. And obviously, because his team were playing, I wanted to support the opposition for a bit of banter. And it was the Padres who were... A love affair was born that day. It was very, very strange. It was a kind of the kind of game that you fall in love with. I think we were losing, then we were winning, then we were losing, and eventually we lost. But it was one of those ones where you have hope all the way through. And it was topsy-turvy. And there was just a lot of beauty in it. And I really enjoyed it. And I didn't think I had room in my soul for another sport, but I did. And I mean, now, even though I for work have to cover cricket, I've got to say I'm more of a baseball fan than a cricket fan.
I think there's a key word you pointed out there, the fact the beauty, and for me, I was quite a big test match cricket fan as well, so I really enjoyed that long slog, that 5 days, that patience, that real show of stamina to actually get through to the end. And I think baseball does that as well. So what year was this then, you were saying?
That was 99. So I've actually timed my fandom incredibly poorly, because 98 was the greatest year, basically, in the history of the Padres. Not a particularly long history of the Padres, because we've only been around since 69, and most years have been pretty nondescript, to be honest. But 98, we went to the World Series, and unfortunately met a Yankees team that were pretty good that year. And the less said about that, the better. But we had a couple of, obviously, all-time legends in Tony DeGuin and Trevor Hoffman. Yeah. And it was a good era to kind of get in, but we didn't really have, that didn't necessarily translate into a lot of postseason appearances or indeed success. So I was going on a downward trajectory in 99, and the early 2000s weren't great either, to be completely honest. But
well, I mean, you became division winners in 2005 with, yeah, an 82-80 record, which is incredible. My history of baseball isn't actually that great, and people who may have listened to our podcast in the past know that I'm trying to catch up, and I'm only really a sort of relatively new baseball fan. But 82-80 in 2005, I don't know if you have any recollection what happened that season.
No, well, that was just after we moved to Petco. It was weird when we moved to Petco, because obviously it was, I used to call it Petco National Park. It was by far the biggest playing park, and
yeah,
combined with the fact it's so close to the water down there in the East Village, there's a marine layer, which I don't know if casual fans probably will have heard of, but basically it is very difficult, or it certainly was more difficult then, to hit a home run, because marine layer for evening games and early season games during the day, it basically just, the ball died. It could be heading 450 feet, but it would get to kind of 375, 380. In some parks, that would be a home run, not in Petco. It was 20 yards short of the warning track. And it led to an awful lot of teams having problems with it. We had growing pains for a few years, but mid-2000s, we invested pretty well. We brought in some free agents. We spent a bit of money. We had some players. The last couple of times, we had players that we drafted that actually did pretty well, in terms of like Jake Peavy, who was one of my all-time greats, like most favourite Padres ever, and guys like Khalil Green. They were basically two of the last three guys that we've drafted. They've actually turned into decent everyday players.
Yeah.
It was a good time. I mean, obviously 2007 was probably about as good as it's been since then. But it, obviously, to win out in the wild, wild west, you need the Dodgers to be slumping, you need the Giants to be on one of their down years, and it's very secular with the D-backs and the Rockies as well. You never quite know. There's always someone that's good, but you never quite know how good they're going to be until, June most years.
Yeah. You mentioned then about the fact that even if you have a decent year, you've got to hope that everything else goes your way. And I did notice while scrolling through results, I tend to have a look back through and just see, you know, the sort of past 5 years. And in 2010, you won 90 games and lost 72 and still didn't make the playoffs.
That was sickening, because we lost to the Giants. The last series, we were away at the Giants, and we went in leading. This, don't correct me on my history here, but I think we went in leading by a game, and we lost the series 3-0 and didn't go to the postseason. That was a weird year, because no one really expected that at all. That was one of my favourite years in a kind of a weird way, because it wasn't supposed to happen like that. We had that was a lot of pluck. That was a lot of small ball. That was a lot of the team was more than the sum of its parts. We had Adrian Gonzalez, who was absolutely mashing at the time, and it was a great shame, as always, that we couldn't keep him, and he went off to, I'll say other things rather than bigger and better things. I'll say other things, but that year was a special year, and had players, scrappy players like David Eckstein, and who were just every single every inning. They didn't take a single out or an inning off for that whole season. I honestly thought it was going to get us all the way. It felt like a special season until that, right at the end.
Yeah.
In the cruel, heartbreaking way that sport does to you so often.
Yeah, exactly. And I think baseball is quite a good one for that as well. The fact that you spend all year watching this team, and 162 games is just crazy, isn't it, when you think about it, to get to that final game. Well, it's like the Pirates, isn't it, the past couple of years. Well, maybe not last year, with the wild card game and all that effort, all that season, and then you're out after one game. Done.
Yeah, well, we of course, you won't know this probably, but we had game 163 about 10 years ago now as well, which when we had the same record, and that ended in controversy as well, because I can't even bring myself to talk about it. But the weird thing was, I was at work when that happened because it went on so late into the night.
Oh, wow.
It was. It ended up finishing, I think, about 7:45 here in the morning, and I was at work trying to be productive. People were there and they were looking at me, but I was, in those days, I kind of like I had my headphones plugged into my desktop computer and things, and just trying to work out what was going on. It was very strange because I'd been following it at home, and then I had to drive to work to kind of catch up with it, and it went to, I can't even remember, like 18 innings and stuff, and then there was a walk off, but home plate wasn't touched. There's a lot of bad feeling still left in the Padres community about that year, and
it could be said that the Padres are the Browns of the baseball.
That it gets said quite regularly, in fact. But I don't necessarily agree with that. Baseball's weird in that
I think that line's it, isn't it? Baseball's weird.
The best team in baseball each year are going to lose a minimum a third of their games, which is to me just absolutely crazy, because in any other major sport you can't expect to achieve anything with that kind of
NBA, I'm not a huge football fan, but just look at Premier League football. You can't lose a third of your games. That's crazy.
It must be the only sport where you can get away with it. I think even cricket, you wouldn't be in the conversation if you lost a third of your championship games.
Exactly. I think you've done a very good job of avoiding chatting about the Padres for this season. Sorry. So, just a very quick one though before we carry on. You mentioned the Marine Layer. I don't know if you happen to have grabbed the Hardball Times this year, the book.
I haven't, but go on, please.
They've got about a 5-6 page article in there about the Marine Layer.
Oh, have they? Oh, good.
Yeah, it's worth grabbing just for that.
Did I sound knowledgeable about the subject? That's the most important thing.
You did, and you sounded exactly like a South Californian, which is what the article talks about, which is very good.
That's good.
Let's move on then. So let's chat about you watching baseball. You mentioned there plugging in your headphones into your desktop computer in the past, but how do you do it now?
Do you know what? I've done it pretty much every single way there is possible to. In the olden days when I first started, it literally was you had one game a week, and I occasionally used to video it, and it wouldn't necessarily be your team anyway. It was on terrestrial TV in the early days, and I used to just watch baseball for the enjoyment of it. 99% of the time it wouldn't be the Padres. I think maybe you were lucky if you got two a season, which is very good. It was kind of the early days of the internet then, around that those early 2000s. It made it possible to keep in touch and follow, but it kind of developed over the years to the point when I became a grown up and I was able to afford MLB TV, which is a godsend and has seen me through the last kind of, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, something like that. It's done me very proud. But I had a little girl who's 18 months old now, and that, I tell you what, that completely changes the way you watch baseball, because it helped in a way when she first came around. She's never been a very good sleeper, and with Padres evening games at 3:05 a.m. here, so the number of times I was able to watch like through my phone, just sitting up trying to shush her, hiding my phone behind a cushion so it wouldn't keep her awake, and just watching it on silent. It's a very strange life following a West Coast team and trying to actually watch the games. And she kind of helps and hinders sometimes. The best thing about MLB TV, I've got to say, is the condensed game.
Oh, it's fantastic, isn't it? It's so good.
That's a life changer for me, because there have been seasons when I've watched pretty much every minute of 162 games, which I know sounds crazy. I was single then, obviously, but now I'm married and with a kid, the condensed game is a real good thing, and it means I can hop on there in the morning before I go to work, or even just at work, avoid the score, don't check the phone, don't check social media or anything, and hop straight on there and watch the game and lose all the adverts, lose all the Dickenberg talking nonsense as well in between plays and things, and just get the kind of the salient bits. That's been a real godsend for me. I've done that for a good few years to keep up in touch.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Last season, my daughter quite enjoyed coming downstairs each morning. She's now just over two. But last season, she enjoyed coming downstairs each morning and used to say baseball and point at the telly. So we used to put it on. But she's had the whole off season now of Peppa Pig and Thomas and Chuggington. And it's going to be so difficult now to wean her off that and get back into baseball. But we'll have to see what happens. Go on, sorry.
I was going to say, it'll take a lot of concerted effort, but I'm sure you've got it in you.
Yeah, I tried this morning, but unfortunately, I think it was the Diamondbacks who played last night. There wasn't any footage available on the app, so we didn't bother in the end. Right, let's move on to your Padres then, and just let's have a quick recap of what happened last season then.
We really have to? Is that I can do it. Do you know what? This will. I don't know how closely you would have followed this. The start to our season last year basically set the tone for the entire season because.
Yeah.
Our opening game, as so often, was at home to the Dodgers, and we lost 15-0.
Yeah,
I say nil rather than zero because I'm English. Hopefully, that's okay.
That's absolutely.
It didn't get a great deal better actually because we got swept and didn't score a run in the opening homestand, and that basically set the tone for the entire year.
Yeah,
they scored 25 in three games against us.
I generally write down a bunch of bullet points before coming onto these pods and try and balance it off with good and bad things that have happened. Yeah. I've got a lot of bad points. Obviously, trying to undo the damage of 15, which was a mess. Lying to other GMs, which wasn't great.
Well, yeah, that isn't great. No one quite knows the full story and probably never will know the full story. I know that AJ Preller served his suspension.
Yeah.
And a lot of things point at him. However, Mike D, who was our president of operations, he was a deeply unpopular chap. He's parted ways in a very mysterious way this off season as well. And a lot of people are suggesting that perhaps that had something to do with him and that AJ's taken the rap. But
yeah,
people are still talking to AJ. That's the thing. A lot of people said that no one would trade with us, no one would talk to us about anything.
I don't think that's the case at all. I think maybe teams might be a bit cautious and maybe ask for a bit extra, but I don't think it would stop them talking to the Padres at all. It was quite interesting, the fact that the Red Sox didn't reverse the Pomerantz deal.
No.
Now, whether they were desperate for a starting pitcher and just wanted to hold on to Pomerantz no matter what, or they're just not that high on Espinosa anymore.
I don't know. You'd have to ask the Red Sox that, but I mean, Pomerantz was a surprise. As so often with Padres pitching, you never quite know how good or bad people are going to be. I mean, we might come onto this with a couple of our other current pitchers, but Pomerantz last year was a delight and a surprise, and
yeah,
was always going to go at some point. So, in terms of Espinosa, he's still very excited about him. There's no way of knowing with these prospects. We've had, I can't even begin to imagine how many prospects that are going to be the one. They're going to be the ace, the number one, the superstar. We've had a lot of them down the years, and invariably they've not quite panned out as we'd hoped. So, I mean, I'm hoping that he's the guy, but he's going to have a lot of work to do for a little while. I don't think we're going to be seeing him for probably 3 or 4 years. He's going to take some time to get through the system. I think probably you're looking at 2021, something like that, people are saying, and you don't want to rush it. That's the thing with the Padres. We've rushed things in the past. We try to do things quickly. This time it feels like we are in full rebuild. A lot of people don't actually mind that because it feels like we have a plan. We have a direction, which
definitely
isn't always the case. And if you were to say, give him 3 years so he's ready and raring to go when he comes up, I think people probably will accept that. They don't want to rush him in. It'd be nice to see him a bit in September, see him in the Futures game, but don't go and bring him up for the half a season. Get him chased around all over the park because then you can do more damage than good by doing that.
Yeah, completely agree. And like you say, the fact they've gone straight into, they're definitely in a rebuild now. They're getting, moving on Pomerantz, moving on Rodney. The amount of international free agents they signed was just incredible.
Yeah.
There's big hype on Morjon as well. I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation.
I've gone for Morjon, but I will call him Adrian because that's easy to pronounce. Adrian. We'll call him Morjon.
That's a bit too close to moron, surely.
Yes, but hey, all the teams that didn't pay out for him, maybe they're the morons.
Oh, good. That's excellent. Thanks. And I bloody love a pun.
Good.
John McGee will love that. Right then, we've dragged our way through last season. What are your thoughts for this season then?
I'm actually, in a strange kind of way, I'm actually quite looking forward to it. You're not going to believe that because I will hold my hands up and say we may very well lose 100 games, which is never a good thing. And we don't tend to do it. We're quite often we're quite bad, but we haven't actually lost 100 games. since 1993 was the last time, and we've only lost 100 games 5 times, and 4 of those were in the first 6 years. There goes some stats for you.
Yeah.
We generally are bad, but not that bad, but this year we may be just that bad. But that comes with a caveat, but I'm quite looking forward to seeing some of the players play, because we've got guys like Hunter Renfrow.
Yes.
Who's going to come in. We're going to start basically some of the team from last year's AAA in El Paso that won the Pacific Coast League so well. We have quality in the farm. It's one of the top 5 ranked farm systems, I think.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
And with reason, it's pretty deep as well. We've got guys like Manny Margot. I go Margot because the French.
Yeah, I think it is Margot, the old Red Sox outfielder.
Indeed, yes. Yeah, how that was from the Kimbrel deal, which
was... Yeah, it was, yeah. You're talking about the farm system. It's quite surprising that it's so stacked, because the way it got absolutely destroyed in 15, they've rebuilt it very quickly.
Yeah, well, that was 15. Was a Padres year in microcosm, basically, because you had all kinds of things. We had a pretty decent farm system before 15 happened,
yeah,
and then we just went crazy, and it got a lot of people excited. It had some benefits, definitely. The interest levels were there, the attendances were up, the merchandise was flying off the shelves. We had, there was facial recognition, there were players there that you knew. The Padres are relevant, we were on SportsCenter, people knew about us.
Yeah.
I know you don't necessarily want to be throwing around sort of hundreds of millions of pounds to do it, or dollars to do it, but it served a purpose. It didn't work out in terms of results on the field, it's a shame. We enjoyed watching, or I certainly enjoyed watching some good players and some less good players for that year. But we didn't dwell on it. And we did things like I used to, Craig Kimbrough, I loved him, but we got a decent haul for him. And it's given us the hope. It's all you want, really, as a sports fan. You want a bit of hope. And we've had that in a lot of different trades. We've drafted well, as you mentioned, the international signings as well. We've thrown that well. It was 11 million, but we had to double it to 22 million for Adrian Morahan, if we're calling him that, who's 18? I think he's still 18.
I believe he is. Yeah, he hasn't pitched since he was 16.
When he does, he throws 97 miles an hour without really trying, which is going to be very interesting. We've got a lot of players. The people that follow the Padres, the people we talk about, are actually the prospects more than the players we actually have. Probably going to start in the opening day, which is a strange situation to be in. But we're looking forward to seeing guys like Hunter Renfrow and Margot this year. They're prospects no more. They will be opening day starters, all being well.
So, speaking of the lineup, then. So. Baseball Prospectus has Pecota ranking them at 70-92 for the record. So would you expect that? Would you say that's fair?
I'd take that. I don't know if I'd expect it. It all depends. The problem is there's so many moving pieces that it would need a lot of things to kind of come together. I think that might be about right. A lot of people are worried that it might be a little worse than that, because in particular, our rotation doesn't look particularly... I don't know. That healthy is not the right word, because the reason we've assembled it is because we're hoping that they'll stay healthy and be able to eat a load of innings this year. But
I don't think there's a word to describe this rotation.
Eclectic.
I think that's it. That noise you just made there. I think that's it.
Yeah. But in amongst it all, someone that could work. Jared Weaver. We signed Jared Weaver. Why have we signed him? Okay, I don't think it's just to sell tickets, to be perfectly honest. Although, again, there is some element of name recognition in Southern California. I don't know if people are going to come out to see him pitch, but you never know. I know what you're going to say. He throws 80 miles an hour and below nowadays, and he's regressing. And you're right to say that. However, I'm going to try and put a spin on this.
Please do.
We have got an amazing pitching coach in Darren Ballsley, who has worked wonders with, I don't know how to say reclamation products, but basically he turns people's careers around. We've done this a lot down the years. Mm-hmm. Guys like Aaron Harang and John Garland and Eric Stoltz and Chris Young and Randy Wolf, going back to those 2000 teams. He's been there 14 years, and we've quite regularly signed guys that are supposedly washed up and on the way down for short-term one-year contracts. They're basically looking for a chance to re-establish themselves in a... People still think it's a pitcher-friendly park, Petco, even though it's not as pitcher-friendly as it used to be. And in the summer, it's actually pretty much neutral. But they do it. Maybe this is him. This is him getting back to it. If he can stay injury-free... I know he's had some awful injuries. He's had back problems. He's had, I think, broke his elbow or something as well. Which all these things are going to contribute to his decline. But if he can stay injury free, if he gets a settled team behind him, if that marine layer keeps some of his home runs in the park, then I'm sure that he can post some kind of ERA that isn't over five. Anyway, that would be the. That'd be the idea.
Well, to be fair, Paqueta hasn't got anyone over five apart from Terrell Jenkins. That's it.
Well, do you know what? I'm not sure if I don't know how much we're going to see of him. I don't.
He's listed as a spot starter, so I don't think he'll be there.
No, do you know the person I'm most interested in is actually Trevor Cahill, who he's been there and done it before. I know it was quite a while ago. Was it 2010, 11 when he was all star. And obviously, he's coming off the back of a hell of a season with the Cubs as well. I know he got his ring. I know he didn't pitch in the World Series, but he's got a ring. I'd imagine his confidence is high. He's looking to stretch himself out and show him that he can be a starter again. I can see him. I don't know this is going to happen, but I can see him slotting in there at kind of three or four or maybe even five if he's willing to do it. And he's got some stuff. We've got some experience at the very least. If you look at Weaver and Clayton Richards come back, who's I think he's probably our most longest tenured player now because we do turn over an awful lot of players. He's probably going to be the opening day starter, I would have thought, Clayton Richards. And he was pretty good back end of last year, and he's earned himself a deal. And these guys they've all got a point to prove. They're all hungry. There's no one that's going to earn big bucks and be just coasting through like perhaps we've seen before. These guys are all looking, they're hungry, they're going to have to earn their next contract, they're going to have to put the numbers up to stay or to get a move somewhere else. So that's what...
Well, I mean, I saw an ESPN article, I think it was the other day, it might have been on MLB.com, but the chat is that the Padres is going to experiment by letting the starting pitchers go through the lineup once and then throw it to the bullpen. And just looking at the 40-man roster, there do seem like there's a lot more arms than there are hitters on there.
There are a lot of arms. There are a lot of arms that have options, though. That is one thing that that will factor in. It's going to be a really interesting spring, actually, because we have there's been talk of like 6-man rotations. There's been all kinds of weird talk in the last kind of 6 weeks or so. But I think we've got something like 11 or 12 guys that are looking for five places, which is...
Yeah,
that doesn't go. I mean, if history tells us anything, they'll probably all get a chance to start at some point because Padres pitchers don't tend to stay healthy throughout the year. But these are all new faces as well. I mean, looking at who do we have last year as a top? It was like we had Tyson Ross, Andrew Cashner, and Pomerantz.
Well, Ross managed what was it, 3 pitches on opening day, and then that was him done.
Yeah, which was very unfortunate because.
That was pretty disappointing because I drafted him quite late in the fantasy draft.
I'm very sorry that happened to you. Worse, you could be actually him though. That was a weird one as well. I think a lot of people wanted to keep him around, but I mean, given what he's done before, he was always going to be too expensive for what we're doing at the moment.
I think that's it. Yeah, I mean, the majority of your starting pitchers are all on 1-year contracts,
and 1 year,
as you've said, if anything does go right, then you can move them on and get something back, whether it be a prospect, a couple of prospects, or a utility guy, whatever it is. Yeah. I think the future is pretty bright, actually, for the Padres.
I'm hoping so. I mean, it's not 2017 is not going to be a kind year for us. I don't think we're the best, most optimistic will in the world. This isn't going to be another 2010. It's going to be another 2016, I think. But there'll be some bright points along the way. Some of the young guys, they're going to get their chance. They're going to get to it. A lot of the time when you bring a player up during the season, they're under pressure immediately. They've got to perform. They're on the clock, basically. But we're giving guys a full opportunity. They're going in there from the start to get their feet and see if they can do it in a show, which is all you can ask. And if it's good for them, and it will be good for us in the long run. I'm calling it Project 2019. I think a few people want 2018 to be interesting, but I'm thinking 2019 to be competitive and be looking at kind of getting in the wild card discussion maybe.
I think that's realistic.
2020 is when that ring's coming. That's
Oh, that's it. Is that? Hold on. Then it's. I'll tell you what. We're only supposed to be doing 15 to 20 minutes on these podcasts, but we've just hit 30 minutes there, and I could just sit here all day and talk about the Padres. I'm sure people aren't that interested in it, but never mind.
They're not interested in it. That's the thing.
We'll quickly move on before we just run out of recording space. So, who's the outside player then? Who's being recognised for his talents that you like?
Well, this is the thing, because I'm going to pick a player that you will know, and you will think he's not an outside player at all. But I'm going to go for Will Myers because people outside of San Diego still probably don't know who he is, even though he was in the home run derby, and even though he was an all-star, and even though he 28 home runs and 28 stolen bases and 99 runs scored, and he was very good last year. It was the first year he's really had consistency. I think he played like 150 plus games, and he's being recognised for his talents in that he's got the biggest contract that we've ever dished out to a current player. He's got a 6-year deal for $83 million, which is that was an absolute symbol from the ownership that we want to keep someone.
It's a huge amount of trust, isn't it?
It is. It's a statement of intent, basically, that in those 6 years we really want to be competing for everything.
We're going to build a team around you.
Big one, yeah. And you need a guy that's that you can put on posters and that people recognise around town. That is the most important thing, particularly in this new weird era when the Chargers have gone and the Padres are the only show in town, really. You need someone to kind of...
And now that awesome catcher Derek Norris has gone as well.
I know, I love Dino. That was a real shame. But we've got Austin Hedges. Austin Hedges is one of these prospects that we've been talking about. I've probably been talking about him for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, and he's great white hope, and finally this is his year. He's the number one. He's going to play 120 games plus.
I mean, looking at his AAA numbers and below, he's been absolutely brilliant. So the kid can hit, but he just hasn't done it in the majors at all.
No, the question was always about his hitting, his work behind the plate, and his work with the pitchers as well. It's the intangibles often with that. He's certainly going to be an elite catcher. That was always the question mark, and it has been there. The Pacific Coast League is a hitter friendly league, so the numbers there kind of come with a bit of an asterisk, but there are other guys that have been there and not done it, and he has done it there, so there's nothing to say that he shouldn't be able to do it. I think it's just the time and the confidence and hopefully knowing that the gig's his, he's the number one, and he's the guy who's going to take us forward. Hopefully that will come in time. And
I hope so. He was one of my bullet points tonight that I wanted to talk about and just say that I'm so glad he's finally got that starting job, because Derek Norris, it's just frustrated me over the last 2 years. I just don't enjoy watching him. Right, we'll keep moving. So we've already had your bold, wild prediction of a 2020 ring for the San Diego Padres. What's your one bold and wild prediction for this season?
My one bold and wild prediction for this season. Saying that we're going to lose 100 games isn't that bold or indeed wild. That is not going to be it. You know what? I'm going to say, is this bold enough? I think that Jared Weaver is going to work out. I think it's going to be better than anyone could possibly hope for. There's no way we would have signed him and given him $3 million if we didn't think that Darren Balsley couldn't get something out of him. And I don't believe it's just to try and get 200 innings eaten up on our way to 2018 and then 2019 and beyond. I do think that there's going to be something there. If we can sort out the position players around him and get some good ground ball defense and basically play to his strengths, I think he's going to be all right. I think he's going to... Do I want to say he's going to win more games than he's going to lose? No, that's too bold, I think.
That is your wild prediction.
I'm going to say ERA of under 3.5.
Are you kidding me?
Under 3.75. There you go. Right, you can have it for that. And that's not assuming that he's just going to get injured after two good games. And
If people haven't made it to 35 minutes of Padre chat, I hope they heard that, because that's incredible.
It's worth
under 3.5 to start with.
Under 3.75. We'll stick with that.
I like that. That's good. Right, we'll do some quick fire questions. You can answer them if you want, or you can just avoid them. It's absolutely fine. But as of mentioned many times, time is clocking on. So on the night out, who's going to get the kebab at the end of the night?
I don't know, honestly. No idea. I don't know what to say to that one. Although, there's no better place to go on a night out after a game of baseball than the Gas Lamp. That's all I was.
You're so right. It's just amazing out there. I think we did about four or five nights out in San Diego, and every single night we ended up in the Gas Lamp, and every single night we ended up at a party as well. It was so good. I think last year it would have been Derek Norris.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, that's yeah. That's
with just lettuce and garlic mayo all over his beard, just a horrible mess.
Yeah, Andrew Cashner used to like the.
That's true. Yeah,
buds at the ballpark as well.
Right, who's going to claim not to have any cash during the taxi ride home?
Well, it better not be Will Myers after his $83 million over 6 years. I think most of the people on the Padres this year don't have much cash because they're all on sort of minimum contracts. So
they're all just going to walk home, aren't they?
I thought so, definitely. Yeah. Getting
back. So who's going to avoid the night out and stay in to watch Great British Bake Off then?
That is a very good question, and I don't actually have an answer at all for that one. That threw me completely, I'm afraid, Tom.
I think Jared Weaver, maybe he's just going to just stay at home and just be like, I can't even risk my arm knocking into somebody.
That is a possibility, I guess. Yeah, can you imagine how long a Jared Weaver cake would take to bake, though? It would
eventually use the oven.
Yeah.
Right then, who's your Alan Partridge nutter who's going to drive barefoot to Dundee?
Well, it's got to be AJ Preller. As much as I like him, he's a unique character. He's actually, do you know what? He's ruptured his, I think, is it cruciate ligament? I don't know which one quite badly, but he's a massive basketball nut, and he plays basketball.
Oh, right.
He gets up at like 5 a.m. every day to play basketball before he goes off and does like GM things and.
Doctors, yeah. The medical.
I certainly would not say that because who knows? It may not have even been him. It may have been somebody else. Yeah,
allegedly. Sorry, I'll throw that
in all that asterisk next to it. Yeah, yeah, he's just cracking on with it. He's like, no, I'm not going to get surgery. I'm not going to the NBA, so I'm just going to crack on.
Oh, he is the nutter then. Yeah. Right then, can you recommend any Twitter accounts, blogs, or beat writers that you enjoy whilst following the Padres?
Well, the only real resource you need if you're going to follow the Padres is Gas Lamp Ball, which is
I agree with that.
A great blog, and it's a good follow on Twitter as well. And hey, they've got Facebook too. They're all about social media. But Gas Lamp Ball, that's I've been there for a long time now, actually. I guess probably 8, 9 years, something like that. And guys, they're super friendly. There aren't a lot of Padres fans in this world that are online. So the ones that do are good guys, and they all tend to hang out there. So it's a good place to go.
Because the Padres is my guilty pleasure, I do follow Gaslamp Ball, and it is good to watch. Sorry, to read as well. During the games, it's quite funny watching the Twitter feed where it just the whole world just crumbles around them. It's very similar to my Boston College Eagles. So I follow their Twitter feed, and just during the game, it just crumbles. It's hilarious.
Yeah, you've always got the hope, but then the hope invariably gets snatched away at some point.
Yeah. 100%, especially with the Padres.
Yeah, well,
right,
the logo, one of the logos for Gaslamp Ball, and one of the mottos for the Padres basically is keep the faith, and that's all we do, year in, year out, keep the faith.
Keep riding high. See if you can get there in the end. 2020, we reckon.
Yeah, well, keep the faith, and it will be rewarded.
Jared Weaver, your ace.
And maybe not in 2020, but he might get us through this year. Hopefully.
Right then, I'd like to thank you all for joining us on this episode of Backflips and Nerds. I'd also like to thank Alex for joining me. Alex, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter as well. I'm Alex Hode, KOL, AlexHodeKOL.
Cool. I've been your host, Tom Pringle, and you can find me on Twitter at Pedroia's Face. That's second baseman for the Boston Red Sox. You can contact the show on Twitter at Batflips_nerds and on Facebook, facebook.com/Batflips and Nerds. Or email us. Please do email us with comments, suggestions, questions. We'll quite happily throw them into the show. Batflipsnerds@gmail.com. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher. Just search for Batflips and Nerds. And please do give us a ratings. It makes it easier for folk to find our little podcast. Also, tell your baseball friends about us. Doesn't matter if they aren't British. We do welcome all sorts. Once again, thanks for listening and goodbye.